In your Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy 10, Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Sandy's not able to sing today because her accompanist, Mary, is not here to play for her. They had practiced and worked together, but then Mary is sick, so that took care of that. So things are different this morning for you, but we're looking at the beginning of a new year. So in the message today, I hope to tie together kind of the end of Christmas and the beginning of a new year. So would you stand as we read in Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the Christmas season, for what it means, for the opportunities that we had. Now we thank you that we have the prospect of a new year, and bless us as we prepare for that, Father. I pray that we might not forget the blessings of Christmas, of what it meant when Jesus came the first time, but may we also recognize that we have opportunities set before us as we anticipate and look forward to his second return. Be with folks who are traveling and driving or flying or whatever. Keep them safe. Let them get where they're going safely and be with them as they're with loved ones. Pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Speak through me the words that I should speak. Remove anything from my heart that ought not to be there. May I be clean in your presence. And Father, I pray that I might be a vessel that you would speak through. That if there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior, they may come to know you. If there's a Christian that needs to make a move, that they would respond. Help us in this new year, Father, to seek your face and do what you'd have us to do. Be with those that are ill and infirm and not able to be with us today, Father. Bless them, bring healing to them, restore their health, and may they soon be back with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, as Moses was telling the people what God said, that this is what God requires of us. This is what he expects of us. And I would think in the new year, as we think of a new year, wouldn't we want to know what God wants of us? And so he said, this is what God says, to fear the Lord. That is to reverence him. It does not mean to fear that he's going to strike you dead if you don't do something the right way, but it is a fear of God that is a reverential fear, to understand that he is God, that he will not allow us to play games with him, that we are to keep his word, to fear the Lord. Secondly, to walk in all his ways. Not some of his ways, not part of his ways, not the ways that we choose, but to walk in all of his ways, the direction that he leads us in. The third was to love him. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, spirit. So to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not I'll do it because nobody else will. Not I'll do it because somebody has to do it. Not I'll live life because if I don't, he might zap me. But it is to serve God with all our heart, with the desire of our heart. This is talking really about the seat of our emotions and what we feel, that we have a desire to serve God. Not a have to or guilted into, but because we love him, we serve him. And then it said to serve the Lord thy God with all of thy soul. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because it broke it up. With your heart, which is really a mind, a willful type of thing, a choice that we make. To serve the Lord with all of our spirit literally means spiritually, with our spirit, with our soul, with that part of us that connects with God. We're to serve spiritually to the best of our ability, to keep his commandments. And notice that did not say to keep the Ten Commandments. It says to keep his commandments, all of his commandments. And then it says to keep his statutes, which he commands us this day for good. Now that almost seems like a repetitive thing. We're to keep the commandments, his commandments, and then we are to keep his statutes, which he commands this day for our good. Statutes are those, not law, as in commandments and all of that kind of thing. What is he saying here very briefly in these words? We are to reverence God as God, and there is none beside him. We are to walk in all of his ways, not some of his ways. We are to love him with our total being. We are to serve the Lord with great desire from our heart, wanting to please him and thank him for what he's done for us. We are to serve the Lord with our soul, that is, spiritually, as we don't just do good deeds to our neighbors, but we share Jesus Christ with them and how God can help them grow and become what he wants them to be. To keep all of his commandments, all of the rules that he has given to us. There's much more than that are in the Ten Commandments. They kind of sum it up. That's kind of a Reader's Digest version. But the reality of it is there are many more commands, and so we are to keep those. And then, as I said, the statutes which he has given us this day. And you know what I think that means? I believe that that means, as Moses said, the statutes of today. He gave us commandments before. He gave us the ten. He gave us others. But daily, he gives us commandments and statutes for us to keep. That does not mean that he changes his law. It does not mean it changes his word. It means that daily, God gives us orders, and we are to be ready on a moment's notice to do what God daily commands us to do. Now I want to take that and transition that into the Christmas time and the Christmas story and something I've already shared with you a bit about. A few weeks ago, I preached on ordinary or just Joseph. Just Joseph. And I said that Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, who was given the responsibility of raising him, was just Joseph, just Joe, common, ordinary, carpenter, run-of-the-mill type of guy, nobody special, just Joe, if you would. But also, we said that that word means just as in righteous. He was common, ordinary Joseph, but he was righteous Joseph because he followed the plan of God in his life. Now, I don't mean to repeat that sermon. I want to share a little bit about it, but I want to share how this relates in the life of the scripture that I read to you and how it relates to our life as well. Remember Joseph, again, just ordinary Joseph, but God called him and he responded. God commanded him and he obeyed. And then God blessed and provided his need. I want you to keep those three things in mind. Joseph, God called and he responded. God commanded, and he obeyed, did not question. And then when God called him and commanded, and Joseph did what he was supposed to do, God provided what he needed. Now, just to refresh your memory a little bit, Joseph was living a life as an ordinary man. His marriage had been arranged. His betrothal had taken place, and he was waiting for his wedding day. As we said, that could take a year or more as he either built a house for his bride or built a room on his father's house. Apparently, he had a job and was working as a carpenter. So not only that, but during this year of waiting or 2 years or however, because it takes a while, he was either building a house for his bride before they consummated the marriage, or he would have been building a room on his father's house. We are told that during this time, now remember, they are betrothed, they are married, but the marriage has not been consummated. The wedding day has not come when he has taken his bride to his father's house or to the house that he built for her. So during this time, Mary went away to her cousin Elizabeth's house. She was there for 3 months. You know the story that it was all revealed and everything about how this was the Savior of the world and that Elizabeth also was going to present a child or conceive and birth a child called John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so she was there for 3 months. It was told to her that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She questioned that, but an angel confirmed it. And so with Elizabeth's confirmation and everything, she accepted that. 3 months later, she comes back to Joseph and she is pregnant. As we said, Joseph had to figure out what to do. What do I do now? Do I have her judged publicly? Do I go ahead and marry her and accept responsibility for this? Do I quietly take her back to her father's house and leave her there and make her be under that stigma, and he would be under the stigma himself? The Bible tells us that he loved Mary. He did not want to see her stoned or humiliated, and so he went ahead with the marriage. But before he did, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this is important. The angel came to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife." Basically, she has not been unfaithful, but the child that she has is a product of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was told that Mary, your wife, is going to deliver a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he is going to save his people from their sins. Now, if you get a chance sometime, go back and read the Christmas story in Luke and Matthew. It's very short, really, when you read it. But as you read it with new eyes. Read how many times you see the words that prophecy might be fulfilled. In other words, 700 years or more before the birth of Jesus Christ, God had predicted many things. One, that a virgin would conceive and have a child who would be the Messiah. But that prophecy might be fulfilled, we are told, that he was told to go ahead and marry Mary, to follow through with the commit that he had made, because this is a fulfillment of prophecy. She has not been unfaithful to you. She is giving birth to the Son of God. We are also told that he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Notice what the scripture says. And again, if you read the Christmas story again, read it with a little closer detail. The Bible says that Joseph rose from sleep and did what the angel told him to do and brought his wife into his house. If you read the Christmas story, if you read about Mary and Joseph, you will find time and time again that prophecy might be fulfilled. You will also find that Mary and Joseph were obedient and did not question. I find in no case did Joseph, it's not recorded anyway, ever object and say, "I don't want to do that. The price is too high. I'm not going to suffer the shame." You don't understand unless you've studied, and of course, if you heard my sermon before, you saw some of that. The shame that Joseph was going to bear the rest of his life. Mary was going to too, but because they were married and living together, and they consummated their marriage later, what they were literally saying was that they themselves had had sexual relationships. They did not mean to say that, but that's what it was saying to the public. Because you see, the angel did not appear to the people of Nazareth and say, "This is the child of the Son of God." All the people in this small town knew was gossip. And Mary and Joseph had committed a horrendous sin, and because he did not have her stoned, that means he is guilty himself, and therefore all of his life, Joseph, and all of her life, Mary, would live under a stigma that they had sinned. You have to understand that it was probably hard to find work in the community. People talked about them every time they walked down the street. It would be a hushed breath. If you've ever lived in a really small town, you know how that takes place. So, when he was commanded, he didn't say, "Lord, people are going to make fun of me." He didn't say, "Lord, I'm going to live under a cloud of shame." He didn't say, "People are going to make accusations." Literally, he said, "Yes, Lord." He did what he was told to do. He paid a great price because this would hang over his head. But again, as I shared with you, the time when the marriage was actually consummated, when the groom would take the bride home to the house, was a great wedding feast. And it generally took place for about a week. Joseph, to my knowledge, and Mary never had that experience. Because who's going to give them a wedding feast? The parents of Mary had to give all the gifts back. And therefore, she lived under a cloud of shame. Her parents may be even been ashamed of her. The scripture doesn't say. But she may not have ever been able to go back home again, actually. But Joseph did what God told him to do. The Bible says then that after he went ahead and took his wife unto him, that the time came when they should go and be taxed. And Joseph went up from Nazareth to Bethlehem and took Mary to be taxed. Why did he do that? Only the man had to go for the taxing. Mary, we are told, went. Why did she go? Well, the most obvious reason is, if you read your Bible, that prophecy might be fulfilled. Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. But what was Joseph's logic for it? We don't see an angel saying, "Take Mary with you." Why would a man take his wife, who is probably 8.5 months or so pregnant, make her go through all of that? Well, there's a very good possibility that he was afraid to leave her in the community back home. The stigma she would have seen, what she would have experienced, her parents might not have taken care of her. She might have been all alone. He might have had no choice. But notice what the Bible says, it fulfilled prophecy. Joseph's obedience fulfilled prophecy. After Jesus was born, the Bible says on the eighth day, they took Jesus to be circumcised according to the law. Joseph was a man who followed the law of God. The command of God. Also, if you read in the Old Testament, there was a 40-day purification period for the woman who gave birth to a son. And so they had to wait for that purification process after the birth of Jesus. And then whenever they did, they brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him and to offer the sacrifice that she had to offer for her purification. It's very interesting that as they obeyed the law and did what they were supposed to do, when they went into the temple, they were met by a man named Simeon. Simeon was an old man, and he took the Lord in his arms and prophesied about what was going to happen, but God had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Joseph got to experience that because he followed God's command. But God did something else for them. Anna, a prophetess, was there, who was an older widow lady. She also came and spoke of God's deliverance, and they got to experience that. So Mary and Joseph are in the temple after all of the shame and everything else that they've experienced. They were able to see two people that God sent to tell them and to prophesy about this son that they had. We find in the story, it may have been 2 years later, may have been less, that the wise men came. And as they came, the Bible says they found Mary, and they found the babe lying in a manger. They came to the house. This was not back at what we consider the manger scene. This was later. He's a child. They find Mary. They find the baby, but there's no mention of Joseph. As we said on Sunday night recently in a class that we had, probably Joseph was out working. To our knowledge, he missed the wise men. Can you imagine that? The wise men came from the east. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and yet to our knowledge, Joseph missed that. Not because he was disciplined, but he was out doing what he was supposed to be doing. There is no record in Scripture that Joseph came back and said, "Oh, that's not right. After all I've been through, I missed the wise men. I missed them worship my baby. I worshiped." That's not fair. You don't find any of that. "How come God doesn't love me enough to let me be?" You don't find any of that. In fact, after the wise men leave and go back to their country another way, Joseph dreams again. Do you notice how Joseph dreams? There are some people that dream and it's indigestion or other things, but there are some people dream and it's God, and he lets you know when it's him. He dreams a dream, and an angel appears to him again, and the angel says to Joseph, "Take your young child and take Mary and go to Egypt, because Herod is going to try to kill your baby boy." Can you imagine that scene? Wise men have just come, and they have worshiped and they have given gifts, and now God says, "I'm going to take you out of here because Herod's going to try to kill you." Now, if you don't understand who Herod is, he's very wicked. He is a man who killed his own wife, killed his own children. He was paranoid. Even people he loved, he killed because he thought they were going to betray him away and try to replace him. And when he thought there was a new kid in town and a new baby that was going to take the throne, he had all the children below 2 years of age in the area killed. Notice again, the Bible says that fulfilled prophecy. Prophecy was fulfilled. And now Joseph is told, take the baby to Egypt, because if you stay here, they're going to try to kill him. Do you notice what Joseph did? He went to Egypt. There is no record of any argument. Man, I can think of any argument he could have given. "Lord, the baby's too young. Lord, it's a hard trip. Lord, I don't know anybody in Egypt. Lord, I don't have a house in Egypt. Lord, I don't have a job in Egypt. And besides that, I don't even like Egypt." Nobody likes Egypt. Nobody wants to go to Egypt. Why should I go to Egypt? He could have given all those excuses, and he did not. He went. Oh, by the way, he could have said, I don't have the money to go to Egypt. I'm just a poor peasant, a poor guy. Oh, wait a minute. Who just showed up? Three wise men, at least, maybe more, with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He had enough money to make the trip. He had enough money to feed his family for who knows how long. He had enough money to build a house if he wanted to. And he had enough money to go into Egypt and probably not even have to work if he didn't want to. He did what God told him to do, and God provided. It's interesting that Herod died. And here we go again. Another angel appears to Joseph in a dream. And the angel says to Joseph, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought his life. Okay, Joseph, you've replaced your family. You've displaced them, put them in Egypt. But Herod's dead. I want you to go back to Israel. Take the mother and the child. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Can you imagine what Joseph could have said? But there's no record of any argument. He does what he's told. He could have said, are you sure they're dead? He could have said, how about, does he have relatives who might want to kill us? He could have said, but how about friends and people around the... He didn't say that. He took the child and went. When he got back into the land of Israel, he found that Archelaus, who was the son of Herod, was now on the throne. The problem with that is Archelaus is as mean as his father. And all of a sudden it hits Joseph, this guy may try to kill us. He may try to carry out what his father planned. And he was afraid to go there. But I want you to notice something. It doesn't say he refused to go there. He was afraid to go there. Have you ever been afraid to do what God told you to do? If you haven't, you're probably not telling the truth. It's not a problem fearing doing what God wants to do. That's a normal reaction. The problem is it's when we refuse to do what God tells us to do. He was afraid. Honest. He didn't argue with God. He didn't say, I'm not going. He didn't say, Archelaus will kill me. I'm afraid. And God said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And he warned him in a dream to go into Galilee. And he dwelt in Nazareth, again fulfilling prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Please don't miss it. God spoke to Joseph. He didn't say no or maybe. He did it. He didn't argue. When he did, God blessed and he fulfilled prophecy. You wonder why God picked a man like Joseph to raise his son on the earth until you really stop and think about it. He picked exactly the right guy, didn't he? He picked a guy who was obedient, a guy who was ordinary, a guy who was righteous, a guy who was willing to do what God told him to do. Can you imagine the blessing that Joseph had in being able to raise the Son of God? Being his stepfather, if you would. Jesus grew up, the Bible said, and waxed strong in spirit, and he grew in stature. His parents went every year to the Passover, we're told. You know what that means? They fulfilled law. They did what they were supposed to do. They went every year to the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, as they took him up this time, they had probably taken him many times before, but this is a special occasion. And when they took him up And then they had fulfilled the days of Passover, and they headed back home. Partway home, they realized Jesus wasn't with the crowd. And that's not unusual. You understand families traveled together, and they, oh, somebody else has got the kid, somebody else has got the kid. And they finally realized nobody had Jesus. He wasn't there. So they go back to the temple, and what do they find? They find Jesus sitting in the midst of the doctors and the teachers of the law, both hearing them and asking them questions. Can you imagine a 12-year-old kid in the middle of these learned doctors, and they don't kick him out, and they don't say, "What are you doing here?" They are engrossed as anybody would be. And they came to Jesus, his parents did, and they were upset. "What have you done? Why did you stay behind? We don't understand what you're doing." And he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" I want you to notice what the Bible says. When Jesus said that, they were amazed. You know what that means? They didn't understand. But Jesus willingly left and went home with them until it was time for his public ministry to begin. And again, it is said that after Jesus went home with them, he increased in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. He grew tall. He showed great wisdom in his mind. And he had favor with both God and man. The Father was pleased with him, and men were pleased with him. Isn't it interesting? God spoke to Joseph in dreams. How will he speak to you? I don't know about you. To my knowledge, God has never spoken to me in a dream. I don't know that I ever expect him to speak to me in a dream, particularly, because he didn't tell me he would. And he didn't do it to everybody in the Bible. There were certain people he spoke through angels in dreams. But just as surely, God has spoken to me. Oh, not audibly, where you hear it, but just as surely, he has spoken to my heart, and there is no question that I know what he wants me to do. How is God going to speak to you? It's probably not going to be a dream, and it's probably not going to be a vision, and it's probably not going to be an angel. It may be just through his word. As you read it, it may come alive in front of you and light up, not physically, but spiritually light up. Be assured, if we're doing what God commands, he will speak to us in his own unique way. I mentioned to you last week, there's the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I mentioned to you that I heard a guy on television say he hated that song, basically, because of course she knew, and I don't believe that at all. I don't believe she knew. But I think it tells us right here. Yeah, she was told who Jesus was. Yeah, she was told he was the Son of God. But being told something and comprehending it are two different things. What does that mean? Do you think that she could look at that baby in the crib and one day he's going to walk on water? One day he's going to die on a cross. One day he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. I don't think so. Remember when they came to Jesus in the temple and he was talking with the doctors? It wasn't just Mary, it was also Joseph. They were amazed. Well, if they understood it all, they wouldn't have been amazed. They just said, "That's exactly what we expected. He's the Son of God. He should be here teaching these guys." Mary and Joseph really had no idea, other than God said he was going to be the Son of God, and they were told their part, or that he was the Son of God, and they were told what their part would be in that. And they followed and did the commands of God. And because they were faithful and obedient, God gave them the privilege of raising the Son of God, God incarnate, God in flesh. I can only imagine. As you look at the new year, remember what God expects and what Joseph exemplified in his life. Fear the Lord. Walk in all of his ways. Love him with all of your heart. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Serve the Lord with all of your spiritual being. Keep his commandments, all of them, and keep his daily commands that he gives to you. You want a New Year's resolution? There it is. Just Joseph. What did I say? His name was mentioned about 16 times in the Bible is all. And look at what he did. Not himself, but what God did through him. Because he didn't argue, and he didn't ask why, and he didn't say, you need to tell me more. He didn't say, there's somebody better. He literally said, yes, Lord. In fact, I don't even know that he said, yes, Lord. He just did it. God said it. He did it. And look what happened. What a blessing he experienced as he helped to raise the Son of God on earth. We're going to have a verse of invitation. As Eric comes and we have our hymn of invitation and God speaks to you. How do you fit in all of this category? How do you fit where God wants you to be? Are you doing his will? Are you saying, yes, Lord? Are you responding? In the new year, I hope that you will be the man or woman that God blesses and God uses to fulfill his purpose. Would you stand as we sing our invitation hymn? Thank you for being with us today. Remember those that are ill and not able to be with us. Remember tonight, 5 o'clock, the movie and the fellowship, and bring some kind of a snack or something, if you would, that we can all share as a group. I think you'll enjoy the film. And may you have a blessed and happy new year. And may you, when God speaks to you in his unique way, however that is, whether it's a dream, an angel, or through his word, or whatever he chooses, may you not even just say, yes, Lord, may you just do it. That's what Joseph did. He just did what God said. Will Eula Berry, would you dismiss us, please?
It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea, I take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. So wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, I'll go wherever.